It's time for Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/the duck.
Good morning. This is once again Bill Anderson with Under Your Home with DryZone. And as promised, Chris from Active Pet Solutions is here to meet or here to do this with me. So,
good
Chris,
morning, Bill.
I appreciate you getting up with me. I know it's hard. So I appreciate you bearing up with me for another week. So
no problem.
All right. So last week we were talking about really why you do what you do, who you guys are a little bit. Why are there so many bugs in our house, Chris? You know, I mean, it seems like if there's not spiders, my daughter's like the biggest, she loved Charlotte's Web, but I think she has the biggest case of arachnophobia ever. So, I mean, why are there so many bugs in our house?
Our clients don't have bug bills.
Well, I guess
they don't have bugs.
After you guys are done, they shouldn't have bugs.
No.
Right.
You know, actually, a lot of it's location, and it's not just location. It has a lot to do with, you know, conditions as well, conducive conditions. A lot of homes, you know, if they're not treated regularly, they don't have any type of protection. So this stuff goes unchecked for a while. Next thing you know, you have an outbreak of population. I mean, everybody has crawl spaces and basements and things like that that are just ideal. And they just, once they get in, they set up shop and they're there.
So what kind of bugs are good? Or is there any bugs that are good?
Sure. You know, ladybugs, praying mantis, a lot of these guys will actually take care of a lot of your pests.
Really?
So, yeah, you can have good beneficial bugs. We avoid treating these guys at all costs. We actually won't treat areas that have some of these beneficial bugs. I went to a lady's house a couple weeks ago. It was about late summer. She had just released a bunch of ladybugs she had ordered into her garden. And so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really. Really. We didn't treat that. We just kind of let that slide. She got them there to take care of some of the other issues that she had.
Well, what do ladybugs eat?
They might go after the aphids and some other, they're predatory, actually. I mean, you think they're cute and they're little red insects and stuff, you know, everybody knows what a ladybug is, but they're actually predatory insects.
Well, that's actually my daughter's nickname when she was a baby, was we called her ladybug, so
nice.
That's funny.
Nice.
I mean, I know, like, I can't stand praying mantises. I don't like any
really?
Bugs that can look at you.
Yeah.
And I know what they do to the male after they go to have babies and all
you
that.
You ever seen one of these guys eat something, eat a prey item?
No,
yeah,
it's
obscene.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think I saw, like, a couple things on, like, Discovery Channel or whatever, and it was gruesome. So I'm just like, well, I'm just not gonna eat, you know, that's just nasty. So so that's why we leave the bugs up to you guys. That's why I can tell you now for a certain fact that I'm never getting in the bug business, because I am not dealing with those nasty creatures.
We'll take care of it for you.
So praying mantises are good for your home. Ladybugs are good for your home.
Yeah, you know, the praying mantises, I always thought they were cool anyway. You know, always feel bad when you're trimming your bushes outside and you cut one in half and they kind of turn that head and look at you. Like, why'd you do that? You know, you feel terrible. I like them. I got a 5-year-old little girl, and she caught one this summer, and she played with this thing for hours, and then she let it go, and it's just, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you say?
Different strokes for different folks.
I'm telling you, I don't know. What do you say?
All right. So, you know, underneath your house, though, are there any good bugs that we should see underneath the house or anything that we should leave? You know, I mean, like when we go underneath the house, we always obviously we see the camel crickets, which, you know, obviously we know I can't stand those things. Spiders tend to be the last thing that lives. And until we met you guys, my big spiel with it was basically, you know, they're the hierarchy on the food chain, I guess.
Yeah, really. Really, the spiders seem to be. The spiders are actually somewhat difficult to treat unless you're targeting them directly. A lot of people call us for spider issues. They don't want them there, or they're taking up residence on their porch or around their columns and around the lights on the exterior of their home. And people don't really like that. As a general rule, if it's not a problem, I tend to leave them alone because they do eat, you know, face it, a spider will eat more insects than we can take care of in a month, you know? That's just what they are. People want to see rid of spiders, and I always tell them, let's take care of the food source, and the spiders go away. I mean, they're there for a reason.
Now, do you guys actually do the rats and the mice and the snakes and all that good stuff, too, or are you just strictly bugs?
No, we do everything.
Do you?
Absolutely. We are one of the few companies around that religiously for years did snake removal. We would actually go out and you got to stop what you're doing and drive over there and take care of it, because they don't stick around and wait on you.
Sure.
Got to go. And I can't tell you how many times over the years we've done the snake removal. In our area, around the marshes and around the country club, tons and tons of snakes, black snakes especially, and they get large and they freak people out.
Yeah, that's actually when we hire people, when we interview them, the first thing we do is we sit down and say, listen, these are the environments in which we work in, you know, so are you afraid of these things? Yeah, can you handle it? It's bad enough that, you know, you get into some tight crawl spaces, you know, they can be like 2 and 3 blocks, so that's 16, 24 inches, which they're called crawl spaces for a reason. season. So when we had one house down in Milton, and there was some black snakes down there. There was two new guys on a crew, and we were training them because we have one guy who does nothing but train new people who come into our company. So they were down there working, and you know, they were pulling insulation out of the floor joists, which the snakes love that.
Sure.
You know? I mean, they just get up there, they writhe around. I think that's how they shed their skin and all that. Well, they pulled some down, and some snakes fell on them.
Nice.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they
didn't think
it was that nice. They were. I don't know that they were. They could have been 10 foot for all I know. I mean, they were acting like they were 10 foot anyway. Apparently. And the guy came out and he was like, listen, I was never afraid of snakes until now. This job isn't for me. And somebody from my office came back and got him. The other guy was like, you know, I'm okay with that, but you got to warn people that they're going to fall down on you, you know. And I got down underneath there with the foreman, and we tried to find them. And I just, you know, like you said, they don't wait around because I couldn't find the darn things.
They don't stick around. They're gone. And they'll get up into the floor, into the walls. And, you know, they're hard to find. They're hard to get. Typically, you know, in our area, we're pretty fortunate. We don't have a lot of issues with venomous snakes. They're not in our area. So most of the snakes we have are harmless, and they're not that big a deal, but they still freak people out. They don't like them. They don't want them in their home, and we do take them out.
Now, when you said venomous snakes a minute ago, I mean, basically, I grew up in Colorado. We moved here when I was like 12. So my dad said, and I'm colorblind, but he said, if you see a colorful snake, just run away from it. Just completely run away from it. Does that kind of hold true down here? Or
no, you know, to be honest with you, I got an extensive background with the reptiles, and I'll tell you, as far as the colorful snakes being an issue, the only colorful snakes, we have four venomous snakes in North America, and that is the coral snake, the rattlesnake, the water moccasin, and the copperhead. Mm-hmm. We have actually found copperheads in our area. That's the extent of it. Now, I know over towards Western Maryland, they will get rattlesnakes. Most of that stuff is southern type of. The venomous snakes are more to the south for the most part. I'm from the Everglades down in Florida. That's where I grew up. And we had a lot of stuff down there, a lot more neat snakes than what we have going on up here. Oh, mostly
imagine.
It's black snakes
and
garter snakes.
Swamp
here.
People.
Yeah. I didn't grow up right there. I was up the street a little ways.
So for the most part, not really something we have to really worry about. I mean, we've probably got a better chance.
It's generally not an issue. You find something, you call me.
All right. So what else should we really be looking for? I mean, you know, you guys are the pest control company. My guys, when they see snakes underneath the house, we have, like, the tongs. They just pick them up and they throw them out in the woods when they see them. Would you recommend that for a homeowner to do that? Or
yeah,
just simply...
That's very humane compared to what most people do.
Yeah.
You know? I've never been an advocate of the old shovel approach. But, you know, that's what a lot of people do. They serve a purpose. They can be beneficial. Keep in mind, they're not, you know, as a general rule, they're not dangerous. And if you can just safely relocate them, that's a great way to handle it.
Yeah, because we had one foreman that actually did the shovel method, and we were like, listen, don't kill the thing. It ain't hurting you, you know, just this is what you do. And, you know, he was from Haiti, so, I mean, they ate him, you know, I think. I don't know. But he was just like, Billy, look, I found something. And my wife, she's afraid of snakes. I mean, she's not the snake girl,
sure.
You know.
Mine either.
Well, he would bring them all the time back in a bag and put it on her desk and just say, hey, listen, just to let you know, I found a snake. Here it is. And she'd flip out in the office, and we finally had to set Pierre down, and we're like, listen, Pierre, we're not in the islands anymore, guy, you know. And he's been here, I mean, he graduated from Seaford High School, so I mean, he's been here since he was a kid. But we're like, listen, that's not the way we do it in America, you know. If you find a snake, just don't kill it, just get it out in the woods. Here's a big old pair of tongs. And he's like, oh, okay, Billy, no problem. And you know, they stopped killing them then. But
so you guys carry tongs with you for that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's nothing worse than having a ticked off snake in a corner when you're trying to pull insulation out of there.
Yeah, and that's fine too. It's funny because I didn't really think about it. I mean, we carry tongs a lot and snake hooks and stuff with us as well too, but I never really pictured you guys having to do that. But I guess you would, you know, you're in the same type environment we are.
I mean, when we're pulling insulation, that's where they live, and they fall down. It's easier than trying to pick. Now I have some guys like Brad. He picked one up by the back of his head, and he thought it was dead, so he took it out. And I was actually bringing him a camera one day. This is a funny story. I bring him this camera for his, or this battery for his camera rather. And as soon as he comes out of the crawl space, he throws the snake down on the ground. And he was like, well, I found a dead snake while I was down here, so I was going to throw it out. I was like, well, I don't know. That thing looks kind of alive to me. So as soon as he was trying to come out of the crawl space, this snake, like, reared up like you would see in Indiana Jones and just sit there and looked at him. I've never seen a man scream so loud and so high-pitched in all my life. It was so funny. I mean, I just took my foot and I kicked it away. But he was like, I'm just going to kill him from now on, Billy. And I'm like, no, don't kill him. Just leave him alone, you know. I'm like, you ain't got to get right up on him anyway. You're just an inspector. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's funny sometimes the stories you'll have. But the guys, they keep snake away on their trucks, which I don't know how well that actually works. They sprinkle it around their home so snakes don't go into it.
We get asked that a lot, too. Is there a product that works? Is there something that'll keep the snakes away or out of the house? And I don't know. To be honest with you, I always found that kind of iffy. You know, like I said, I have a background with the snakes, and I can tell you, yeah, cats will work, you know. But as far as the products you buy over the counter, I don't know. I don't put a whole lot of faith in them. Mm-hmm. I think that you would really have to put a great deal. I mean, you can't go buy a gallon jug of this stuff, put it around your house, and expect it to do anything. I mean, you would have to have sufficient width and coverage around the perimeter of the home for it to make much difference.
Well, and then once they're in there, they're trapped in there, I guess.
Yeah, I pulled them out of second floor dryers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I pulled them out of car, up underneath the dashboards of cars.
Really?
I had a lady a couple weeks ago who had gotten up in her heating and air unit, or in her heating and ductwork in her car, up in the dashboard, and she was panic-stricken over that. Yeah.
What, did she just actually see it sticking out of the vents, or?
Yeah, no, it came right up out of the dash as she was driving down the road.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, she said she almost lost it, you know, but we got it out for her.
Wow. So how many calls do you guys actually get on a weekly basis for stuff like that? Is that a lot or just a little bit?
It's not so much a weekly basis. It is seasonal. We don't actually push that as much anymore, but a lot of our longtime customers know that we still do that, and we will go out and take care of it for them. So spring, summer, and maybe a little bit into fall, it's more probably 7, 8, 10 a month.
Really?
That,
that many?
Call. Yeah.
Wow.
The hard part about that is people get there and they call, or you get there and the people are frantic and there's a snake. It was right here. And you're looking and you're looking and you can't find it. And you're like, I swear, 3 days ago, that's where it was.
Wow.
And you know, like 3 days ago.
3 days ago, yeah.
You know, I mean, so that's, but yeah, that's how it goes.
Want to make sure that we give out our numbers here, Chris. So you guys are down in Lewis, Delaware.
Yes, we are.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and give out your pertinence and all that.
All right. 302-645-1502. Give us a call. You can check us out online at www.activepestsolutions.com. It's our new website, still under construction, but it is moving right along.
Perfect. You know, a few weeks ago we had a homeowner ask if we can start saying our numbers more, because we'll say it once or twice throughout the show and they never have that pen ready. So why don't you go ahead and give out your number and stuff again?
No problem. 302-645-1502. We're out of Lewis, Delaware.
All right, and this is Dry Zone, so it's 855-DRY-ZONE, and our website is dryzone.com. Chris, one of the reasons that brought our companies together was there's a great big development down in Lewis, and I guess we can't say the names and all that good stuff, but it's one of the biggest developments in Lewis down behind Lowe's.
That's
okay.
Correct.
That's about the easiest way to explain it. What actually happened to that? How did we actually get to know each other?
Well, what happened was this development, they have big apartment-type buildings, and underneath each one is
almost like a plantation, right?
Yeah, it's exactly. A lot like a plantation. And under each apartment unit, there's 8 maybe crawl spaces, separate crawl spaces. And what happened is some company in the past had gone in there and tried to do some type of a variation of a encapsulated crawl space. And what they did was they've shot this expandable foam. I don't know what the exact terminology for that is, but they go in there and it's a cheaper method. It's of doing these, and it's really terrible, you know, as far as how it affects us. And they've gone in there and they've shot this stuff up the walls and across the floors. And we were not able to go in and do the inspection for the termites. And we knew they had termites. We just couldn't tell where they were coming from. So basically what happened was we told them, we can't help you until this stuff is actually physically removed. And unfortunately for you, you guys got that job. And I think that was pretty tough, wasn't it, Bill?
Yeah, you know, it was funny because the company that originally did this project went out of business. And it's not the first development that they kind of did dirty that way. They went in there and, like you said, they had just the real cheap plastic vapor barrier on the floor, and then they shot it right up the wall from the floor right up through the sill plate, right over the banner board, rim joists, everything.
Everywhere.
And they paid us more money, once again, and I hate to use this term, but they paid us more money to actually just fix, just to chip out that little bit. And I'm going to tell you now, that was a nightmare. I went down there with the guys to help chip it out. And, you know, with the termites, they ate the wood behind it. So we're sitting there trying to knock out the wood or knock out the insulation with the wood behind it that's rotten, you know, or eaten away, rather, I guess. It was absolutely, I'm telling you, we spent weeks on that project. And it's not one of those things that are really money generating at that point either, because labor just ate it all up at that point. You know, any profit we did try to make, labor just ate it up, because we were in there with saws and crowbars and
there's no good way to do it. The same company has done 2 of our customers' homes, and I can tell you, you know, yeah, he's out of business, but these people are having major problems from this. Not just, you know, with the termites, but moisture problems with this spray foam. And it goes on and on. And these people are livid. And I can tell you, this lady just was quoted a price. I met with her last week for the same price that she had installed to take it back out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the sad part is the guy that owned the company went out of business. He's getting sued. He went to go work for the exact same type of company.
Yes, he is.
And is doing the exact same thing that he was doing before, which just, there's something just inherently wrong with that.
Yes,
you know?
There is. I'll tell you, Bill, I was actually at one of our customers' house about 3 weeks ago, and I went in to do her termite inspection. She's under warranty with us. We did a treatment for her several years ago. Every year, we go back and reinspect the home. I went back there, and I started in her garage, and she says, "You're going to be so tickled with what I've done with my crawl space." And I'm just like, uh-oh. You know, and I said, "Well, let's talk about this." I went in, I took a look. Sure enough, she's had this crawl space shot top to bottom with this foam. And I pulled her aside and I talked to her. I said, "This could void your warranty. This could be a really major issue." I found out who did it. Same guy. Still doing it.
And, you know, I mean, we're not here to bash companies, people, or anything like that. But it absolutely sickens me because we've actually done classes in each other's shops to kind of, inform each other on what the other person does to make sure that the homeowners truly get the real information. And you guys that had some of that same insulation where you could actually see where the termites actually burrowed right up behind it, right into the wood, and destroyed it. And at that point, if you can't see it, then how do you even know it's there?
Yeah, we can't do our inspections. And for your listeners who don't realize what we're talking about, this foam is sprayed and it's applied on and it expands and it becomes hard as a rock. And termites, this is the ideal matrix for termites to travel through. They can travel unprotected from the soil directly up into the wood of your home. And what happens is, as we're chipping this stuff away, we're trying to figure out what's going on. One, you paid to have this stuff installed by somebody. Two, we come in, we can't tell you what's going on until we're basically having to rip it out.
Yeah, because you don't have x-ray glasses.
No, we can't see what's going on. The first thing we say is, okay, this has got to come out before we can even help you. Well, you're not happy about that. But then what happens is this foam is allowing these termites to go right around your protective shield that's above your sill plate or below your sill plate and above your foundation for this designed to, you know, act as a deterrent for termites. These guys,
because termites can't hang upside down.
Well, what's happened is they won't go. If they were to come up through the hollow core of the block, they would hit this, and they can go around it, but it acts as a deterrent. When you have that foam there, they will travel right around that foam.
Sure.
Through it into the wood, and then it's just like a free open highway to them. And we have so many videos and footage of this actually taking place when this stuff is shot in there like that. Mm-hmm. And that's where the problem lies. And then it has to come out, and you've spent all that money for nothing. And this is a result of not having it properly done in the first place.
Yeah, you know, like with us, I'm not a big advocate of the spray foams in the first place.
No, I know that.
I think it has its place, and I think people use it too much. Like with us, we use a product called Silver Glow. And Silver Glow is APS insulation, which is, it's like the little round beady styrofoam. We have that actually infused with graphite, and then it has a radiant barrier in the front of it. Well, what we do is, since it's a hard, rigid foam, we lay it on top of the foundation wall, but we leave that gap. We bring that insulation down, 3 inches below the sill plate, right? And then we can put our systems on, so that way you guys can still check it and everything else. And then you can still insulate your rim joists. You just need to do it in a better way. I'm more of a proponent of just sealing up the air in the rim joists rather than just trying to shoot everything, because they're shooting everything trying to say, okay, well, I'm going to get all the places where air can come in. Well, that's great, but if it's a 2x10, there's not a whole lot of places except for the top and the bottom of the sides where that air actually even has a chance to come in at.
Yeah.
So if you literally just take a foam gun, which we all have the foam guns, and you just spray the top, which is like a bead, almost like a caulk gun, and you spray the top of that, or you run that bead on the top of the sill plate and then on the bottom of the sill plate and the banner board and all that, then you folks can still see things because we're not covering everything up at that point.
That's the major thing. You know, if we need to get back in there doing inspection, we have to visibly be able to look. And there's certain areas that are highly likely to have termite activity that will indicate an infestation or reinfestation after a treatment. And we need to be able to get in there to take a look at that on the annual inspections. If you're not leaving that gap, and most companies are not, then we can't do that. And what you guys are doing really benefits us and the homeowner.
You know, the neat part about it is, first of all, you don't have the company that actually did those homes that we were talking about. They went to like Tiger Direct or whatever, and they got these great big, they almost look like propane canisters, like we use for our grill. But they're like 5 times the size. And they're dragging these great big bottles around underneath the home, and they're shooting it on the walls. And it's funny because in some of those walls, it was so thin that you could actually see the mortar joint. In some areas, it was 3 or 4 inches thick.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that insulation, and my brother-in-law actually sprays the insulation. They actually, it's called, we've had them on before. They're called Dr. Energy Saver. And they do the liquid foam, the spray foam. And they don't do it in the same application we were talking about. But I've actually seen it to where if you spray that stuff on thick enough, it'll actually burst into flames.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually neat. We did it at the shop one time when they first went into business, and they got their, they use a product called Demilac, and you spray this stuff on a piece of cardboard because they have to test the thickness and everything else, and David was like, Billy, look at this thing. I got to tell you, I got to show you, this is the coolest thing in the world. Well, they sprayed it on there, and you put it on like 5 or 6 inches thick. You hurry up and rip a piece of it off, and you take a thermal gun. It got up to like 900 degrees. I mean, it was like super, super hot. And it might have been 300 degrees for all I know, but I know it was hotter than what it should, you know, normal is. It'd burn you anyway. Well, he was telling me a story when he was out in Texas doing the training for all this stuff. They always use the cardboard to test the thickness of the spray and make sure everything's coming out right. Well, they laid it up against the back of a truck when they were doing it. Well, the wind blew it down, blew it underneath the truck. The thing got so hot underneath the truck that it ignited the vapors from the gas tank, and the truck burst into flames.
Uh-oh.
You got to be real careful with that stuff. I mean, it's a great product in certain applications. Like, they do it a lot up inside attics, right? They spray a ton of insulation up in attics to try to keep that air, you know, that was in our crawl space. Because, you know, I don't know if you guys really get into that much, Chris, or not, but basically our house breathes from bottom to the top, okay? And it's a stack effect. It's very much how a chimney works, right? So, except for this time of year when things go down the chimney as opposed to up the chimney, but air's going to get sucked in at the bottom of our home, and it's going to rise because hot air rises and cold air sinks. So all that hot air that gets, you know, from the outside in our crawl space, it comes into our house, it goes upstairs, it goes into our attic, and that's why our attics are like 1,000 degrees in the summertime. So they're actually spraying a lot of insulation up in their attic to try to keep that heat inside of our home, or to try to keep it from, in the wintertime, well, like I said, the wintertime escaping the summertime, they try to get it out of there. And I don't pretend to know everything they do, but, you know, I know that they use it a lot up in attics. They'll use a lot of liquid foam around protrusions in our subfloors, you know, like around the sinks and the bathtubs and all that other good stuff, because it's going to help at least some with mice and everything else. So I guess in the proper application, it's useful, but in the application that we've been talking about, it's just the worst piece of junk God ever made.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would work. If they could apply it in such a manner that it was effective in the crawl space, that'd be one thing. But it appears, just the nature of its application method, that it's not that controllable. I don't know what kind of definitive edges you can make with that as far as allowing space to reinspect, but you certainly don't seem to have the control over it with what you guys have with your products.
Yeah, I mean, it's uniform. We put the clean space, or which is our vapor barrier we use, we put that on, and then there's a finished trim that goes around it. You know, and I mean, it actually looks professional. You know,
yeah, it does. It's clean, it's nice, and it's nice for us to go back in and work in.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, I mean, like with us, we use a product called drainage matting that goes underneath our liners. Most companies just lay their plastic down on the dirt. And you try as you hard, you're never going to get all the little knee buster stones out of there. All the hard stuff, because you got footers and all that stuff, so if there's overpour on footers, you're never going to try to knock all that off, which is going to rub and create holes in the vapor barrier. With our drainage matting, once it's down, you know, it's like a cushion, you know, so you don't have to worry about your knees. It's nice to crawl on. It's an amazing product, and the way Basement Systems markets it, I think they do a great job with it, because there really is nothing that gets anywhere near close to the quality of it out there right now at all.
No, the finished product that you guys have is absolutely unreal, and the technology is changed so much over the years that, man, we go into a crawl space like that, and we know, we can basically look at it and see who's done what, and I can tell you who's done this or who's done that, and the finished product that you guys have is just outstanding.
Well, now, Chris, one thing we didn't talk about last week, which I do want to spend a few minutes on, because we only have a couple minutes left, is for the last few weeks, we had really been pushing our Habitat for Humanity function that we did, okay?
Okay.
And you guys had showed up. You guys were one of the folks, I think actually your name's on the back of our shirts.
Yes, it is.
So you guys got shirts from that, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay, good.
Yes, we did.
Because if not, we have some left.
No, who got some? Thank you.
We were able to raise over $1,000 for Habitat for Humanity. We had a great time down at the Green Turtle in Lewis. You folks came out. I know J&A Electric came out. I'm trying to think of it. Oh, it's been a few weeks. We just had so much good support from all the different vendors and from all the different companies that helped us put this thing on. Channel 47 was great. They put us on television twice. The Duck was out here. They did a live remote. I got to thank Troy again a million times. He came out and hosted it. We had a lot of fun. But yeah, like I said, we were able to raise over $1,000 for Habitat for Humanity that day. So
that's outstanding.
So it was a neat day. Food was excellent.
Yes, it was.
My mom and dad actually came out and had lunch, and they have those hog hammers there, which is like, they're like the little, I don't even know what the heck you'd call them. They're like little pieces of pork on a bone, you know, I guess a rib, some sort of rib anyway. And my dad had never had one before. So I was like, well, you got to try them then, because these things are like the best. So he enjoyed them. And like I said, we were able to raise raise a good amount of money for a good charity. In the last couple minutes, Chris, what's going on with your guys' company? What's coming up? What's coming new? Is there anything new? Is there anything that people should be looking out for? Is there any specials you folks are planning on running?
The new for this year, mosquito control. We're doing that for the residential and commercial applications, especially in our area with the marshes and the wetlands. A lot of people are really inundated with that, and they're not able to get out and enjoy their decks and patios like they like.
Yeah, you'll
to.
Be at my house this year, yeah. I'm sure of that.
We're going to be doing that for everybody, for existing customers, for homeowners associations. We have talked to a few about doing the entire communities. So if you guys are interested in that, just let us know. Still, you know, we're plugging away doing our same things. We stick with our core concepts because that's what works. We're still doing our quarterlies, and we're still doing our full service on all the homes that we are typically, you know, what we get called out to do. All your crickets and spiders, all your termite stuff. We do specialize in the termite activity and doing the inspections and doing the pre-encapsulation treatments for you guys. So yeah, that's business as usual for us.
Now, do you guys do those Centricon things that everybody always talks about?
We do not.
Okay.
We do not. And, well, the reason we don't is it doesn't seem right just to go feed the termites as opposed to actually resolving the issue. I mean, a lot of these companies, they put this stuff out there, and yes, they sell it as and market it as a green product. The problem lies in the fact that, yeah, well, it may be a green product. It may have its uses. It could certainly be viable in an area that's, you know, near water or something.
Well, now, for the people who don't know it, exactly how do they work? Because as soon as you guys told me, I was like, you've really got to be kidding me. How they actually, yeah. What it actually is.
Well, they're baiting stations. Centricon is one of multiple different types of baiting stations. They became popular like well over 10 years ago, and then what happened was they came out with a product called Termidor, and basically bait stations just became obsolete. They're a thing of the past. Certain companies will still use them because they push them as a green product. What happens is the company will come out and they will sell you this, and along with the installation of this product, they tell you somebody has to come out maybe every 90 days and do an inspection on these, and they apply these into the soil around the home every 8 to 10 feet.
It's like a big plastic spike with holes in it, basically.
Basically,
right?
Yeah. And the theory is that the termites will travel into this bait station, feed upon any, you know, cellulose material or soft pine wood, whatever
it is.
They
just stick a piece of wood down there, basically. It's a chunk of wood and a piece of plastic.
So to speak, yes. And what happens is a technician is supposed to come out and open each one of these individually and take a look and see what's going on. And if there is activity, then they'll bait for them. The problem is that, you know, if you have termites going on, you know, activity going on, you need it addressed. For me, it seems like it's more of a revenue generator for the company than what it is.
Now, couldn't that actually bring termites to your home? Say that your neighbor had termites and you have all these things around your house. Could it actually...
You know, termites are constantly foraging and expanding. They could just as easily be heading that way anyway. But it's not so much as a draw. It just seems like it's a less effective way to actually resolve the issue.
Okay.
You know, it's one thing if you were just going to monitor it, but there's better ways. And a lot of people don't realize that. Homeowners don't understand what's going on. They hear a company pushing this and, oh yeah, I want to be green, environmentally friendly. Well, guess what? Our chemical treatment is actually, there's nothing wrong with it. It's, you know, it's not going to hurt the environment. It's not going to hurt you, your home, your family, your pets, or anything like that. It's implied in a manner that it's safe and it's highly effective, and it has basically made these base stations obsolete.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I mean, to kill something, you're going to need something that's going to kill something. You just can't go out there with some
now
perfume and expect everything to die.
If they get a hit on these bait stations, they will put bait in there, but again, there's a reason that they became obsolete years ago. A lot of the companies bought into these programs, some of them are still using them. Don't know why. I think because nobody else is really using it. The companies that are using it to set themselves apart. You know, hey, we're offering something that not everybody else is doing. It's green. Well, if you don't know any better, then you don't know any better. Sure. But there is better ways to do it.
Well, Chris, we're down to our last couple of minutes in our show here. Is there any closing thoughts you want to have? Or
no, I just wanted to add that, you know, if you guys are going to be thinking about encapsulated crawl space, you give DryZone a call. Let us know. We'll be happy to come out and do an inspection for you. Make sure everything's good to go. Make sure there's no issues and that you're free to go ahead and wrap that bad boy up and not have any concerns down the road. We can help you with that.
Yeah, I mean, I know with us, anybody that whenever we go out there and we sell our condition crawl spaces, we're trying to get you guys in there first thing. So
that's been working real well. Yeah. We've met with a lot of your customers. Everybody's been really tickled. We've offered this pre-encapsulation treatment to them. We've done 98% of them have wanted this taken care of because they were concerned about it, and it's good to go. They're under warranty. They don't have any concerns.
All right, Chris, how do folks get a hold of you?
302-645-1502, or check us out online at Active Pest Solutions.com.
And do you guys have any email addresses you want to share? Or
you can email me at Chris@ActivePestSolutions.
They make mine simple too. It's bill@dryzone.com.
Yeah, just so I don't screw it up.
Yeah, so listen, folks, like I said, my name is Bill. I'm with Under Your Home with DryZone. And if you need to get a hold of us, please call us at 855-DRYZONE, or you can just simply reach us on the web at dryzone.com. Chris, I appreciate you being here, and hopefully we'll have you on soon again.
No problem. Thank you, Bill.
You've been listening to Under Your Home with DryZone. DryZone in Milton, Delaware, your complete source for basement and crawl space waterproofing, foundation repair, and basement finishing. 24-hour service. We never sleep at DryZone. 888-617-0363 or online at dryzone.com/the duck.